Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Today we're going to be looking at the Fair Mormon Journal, dated November to December 2014. So this would be their year-end newsletter that they put out. Fair is an apologetic group primarily made up of a lot of lay people within the Mormon Church, and FAIR stands for Foundation for Apologetics and Information Research. And the president of FAIR is a man by the name of Scott Gordon.
Scott Gordon writes this: "As the year is drawing to a close, I see top 10 lists appearing on my Facebook feed and in the press. In the spirit of that, I have attempted to put together a top 10 list. But then I struggled with what kind of top 10 I should put out. One idea I had was the top 10 dumbest anti-Mormon arguments I have ever seen. So I started writing that list."
So he's going to put together what he calls the 10 dumbest anti-Mormon arguments. And again, he's using the phrase anti-Mormon. And I think guys like Scott Gordon do this purposely to try and make it look like arguments against Mormonism are really personal arguments against Mormon people, trying to make it appear. I personally believe that the reason he does this and why a lot of Mormon apologists do this is to try and make it look like what we are doing is warranted by some act of bigotry or perhaps even animosity or hatred towards the Mormon people.
And it's a pejorative that's just not fair. Because, I mean, if we were to say to the Latter-day Saint apologists that they're anti-Christian, how would they take that? So that's a tired argument. I wish that just be done with. I wish they would stop using that.
Anyway, point number one he had here is:
LDS use spires, not crosses, on their chapels in the hope to impale or re-crucify Jesus on the spires when he descends from heaven.
Now, when I read that, I do recall somebody saying that back in the 1980s. I have not heard that argument in, what, 30 years?
No, we have not.
And, okay, I know he's supposed to be coming up with the top 10 dumbest anti-Mormon arguments I have ever seen or I have ever read. Okay, but it's certainly not an argument that I see or hear today.
And I think we can agree with them. That's not a very persuasive argument, so let's not use it.
And I should say that Sandra and Gerald Tanner, when this argument was had circulated back in the 1980s, actually wrote a response to that. They were critical of that kind of thinking. Mm-hmm. So here was a case of Christians policing themselves, or at least being critical of what they felt was a bad idea.
You certainly won't see that on our website at
no,
all. The second point that he listed: the Mormons plan on taking over the U.S. government, and to do so, they have built an exact duplicate of the Oval Office in the Washington, D.C. temple. Bill, I learn new things every day.
I had never heard that part about building an exact duplicate of the Oval Office in the Washington, D.C. temple. But Scott Gordon's response following that is, since you have only to build the room to take power, I understand there are a couple of political candidates who have been calling Salt Lake asking for blueprints. Didn't Mitt Romney take out building permits a couple of years ago? Now, I know he's trying to be a little flippant, and he will admit later on that he was flippant in these first three points that he gives. But wait a minute, Mr. Gordon. Why didn't you address the first part of point number two, the Mormons' plan on taking over the U.S. government? Now, I will admit I have not heard that argument being raised in modern times, but I do know of political candidates, Mormon political candidates, who have turned to that expression that was found in the White Horse Prophecy about the Constitution hanging by a thread and the Mormon elders being called in to save it. I know for a fact, I can think of one right now, of one man who was in Utah government who used the White Horse Prophecy and that expression that I just cited, as an impetus for him running for office. He wanted to fulfill what he thought it was a prophecy by Joseph Smith.
And for a lot of people here in the Valley, they're going to vote for the Mormon candidate, and that's just another reason to vote for him.
Now, again, I want to state, I don't know of anybody who thinks the Mormons are going to take over the government. I've not heard anything like that in recent years, but I certainly can find references in 19th century citations by Mormons where that was an idea that was being circulated. How serious? I don't think it was serious.
Well, and you can go onto our website on mrm.org and type in White Horse Prophecy. We have articles on that very topic if you want to hear more. But that certainly was a major teaching back in the 19th century for sure. Number three, if Mormons are Christians Mormon? And then he writes this, this one really bugs me. I try really hard not to come back with my middle school snarky, unkind, and extremely inappropriate remark like, yes, they are Mormons, but missing the middle consonant, which would be morons. Or, tell me the name of your elementary school and I will lobby that it lose its accreditation. Sorry, I know that is unkind. I am sure the questioners are well-meaning. I just wonder if people have thought things through. Let me try again. If all Californians are Americans, does that mean all Americans are Californians? Of course not. One is a subset of the other. And don't even start on California immigration jokes.
Now, I have used a similar response. And this statement by itself, I would admit, is not a very strong argument. But when a Mormon comes to me and says that I am a Christian just like you, I have responded by saying, well, would you say then that I am a Mormon just like you? I say it purposely because I know the Mormon is going to say no. The reason I say it that way is because I want the Mormon to tell me what the differences are that I should not be classified as a Mormon. I let them tell me what the differences are. Remember, what started that conversation, at least in my case, is they came to me insisting that they were Christians like me. I don't look at it as a subset. The Mormon Church does not look at itself as a subset. It teaches that the Mormon Church is the only true and living church on the face of the earth. I'm not looking at Mormon as a denomination. They claim to be the only true Christians. If that's the case, and I'm not a Mormon, don't try to patronize me by saying I'm a Christian too, because there are certain things that qualify a Christian as a Christian. There are certain things that Christians have believed throughout the centuries that qualify them as a Christian. And there is one thing in particular that really defines a Christian, and that is the forgiveness of sins. Something that I find Mormons that I've talked to have no clue whether or not theirs are forgiven.
Well, and I would add on to that, Bill, that a Mormon who really believes in his faith and what is being taught at General Conference can't believe that you are also going to go to the celestial kingdom like he is, because you deny Joseph Smith, you have not been baptized into the Mormon Church, you don't use the temple. You have never had your work done for you. You have not been working on behalf of the dead. And it goes on and on and on. There are so many qualifications to be able to make a person, quote unquote, saved in the Mormon Church that we are not doing. And it's disingenuous, I think, for a Mormon to patronize us and say that we're Christians too, when in reality, the best we're going to get is the terrestrial kingdom. I think that's a major problem.
And why aren't we going to get into the celestial kingdom? Because our sins will not be forgiven, right? Well, there's no such thing, people, as an unforgiven Christian. That's my point. There's no such thing as an unforgiven Christian. But yet when I ask LDS acquaintances if they know for sure they have the forgiveness of sins, they don't know. So at best, their claim of being Christian is presumptuous.
You know, if you go back 20 years even, I would say that this idea of wanting to be classified as Christian like us was not a desire or goal of any Mormon that I knew at that time when I first started researching Mormonism. And the leaders have certainly changed from what Bruce McConkie, for instance. Let me just give you a little bit of what Bruce McConkie said in his book that was titled Mormon Doctrine. He said, in virtually all the millions of apostate Christendom have abased themselves before the mythical throne of a mythical Christ whom they vainly suppose to be a spirit essence who is incorporeal, uncreated, immaterial, and three in one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Right there, that's a denial of everything I believe about God and saying that that's a mythical Christ. We have a different Jesus. And 2 Corinthians 11:4 says that if we have a different Jesus, we've got major problems. Galatians 1:8-9 says if we have a different gospel, we have major problems. So Latter-day Saint, do us a favor. Let us know that we're not going to the celestial kingdom and we need to convert. Stick with that and don't try to patronize us by saying that we're Christians too.
Well, that's the whole point. When they make that kind of implication that somehow we can both be Christian but believe so totally opposed on all the major issues, I do find that to be misleading.
Let me give you another quote from page 352 of that book, Mormon Doctrine, from Bruce R. McConkie. He said, the whole Christian world in the days of the prophet, and referring to Joseph Smith, believed falsely that God was a mystical spirit essence that filled the immensity of space and was everywhere and nowhere in particular present, all of which proved only that they were all heretics, that the apostasy was universal. Heresy is false doctrine. There is no salvation in a false doctrine.
So it sounds like Bruce McConkie is at least being honest enough to admit that in his mind, because we as evangelical Christians outside of the parameters of Mormonism, not believing what Mormons believe on the issues of who God is and who Jesus is, God the Father and who Jesus is, we are heretics. McConkie at least admits heretics are not Christians.
Right.
I love that kind of refreshing honesty. That's why I miss Bruce. I wish we had that today. But I think what Mr. Gordon needs to do, if he's going to use this statement, at least when I've used a statement similar to that, I think there needs to be more explanation involved in it. Now, he goes on to say that as he was creating this list, because we've only gone through 3 points, he says, I realized that the list was not very useful since these types of arguments are generally unpersuasive. While I only got to 3, I saw my answers were also flippant and unkind, so I started a new and different list that only included arguments that I know have been persuasive. I know this as these arguments have been quoted to me many times.
And then he adds, here is my second list, not to be confused with my first list that only made it to 3 of 10 arguments. Well, Bill, why did he put these 3 in if he's apologizing that he shouldn't have been so unkind and flippant?
It does sound a little inconsistent that Mr. Gordon, if he really feels that his comments were flippant and unkind and perhaps should not have been said, that he still includes them. So his list is really not a list of 10. It is now a list of 13. In the following days, we're going to go through his next 10 points that he says he finds unpersuasive. And as we mentioned, this is found in the Fair Mormon Journal, November to December 2014.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. How would you like to have Mormonism Research Ministry address your church on the subject of Mormonism? MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson have spoken at many Christian churches all over the country. You see, they can tailor their presentation to meet your church's needs. Anything from a one-day basic introduction to a weekend symposium. You'll find these PowerPoint presentations clear, articulate, and presented in a Christ-honoring fashion. So let your pastor know today that you'd like to have MRM speak at your church. Write us at contact@mrm.org.